Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, After Buzzers. Welcome to another after show for House of Cards, Season 3, Episode 6, Chapter 32. I am your host, Pega Rad. You can find me on Twitter, at Pega Rad. And I am joined by the lovely...
Hello, everybody. I am Autumn Chiklis, and you can find me on Twitter, at Autumn Chiklis.
Hi, Pega.
Hi,
Autumn.
Hi, Julian.
I'm Julian Dujarric, and you can find me at Julian Dujarric across the board on all social media.
Make it so easy.
Yeah.
My name's Quince Gillian. You can find me on Twitter at Quince Gillian.
And I just wanted to remind you guys, if you guys are listening to us on the AfterBuzz TV app or if you're on iTunes, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. We have tons of shows on there. We really love for you guys to check them all out. I'm sure any show that you're into, we probably cover and we probably do an awesome job at it too. So check us out, rate, comment, all that stuff. This episode, whoo.
Oh,
what
yeah.
do you guys think?
Good. Great.
Good, great.
Good. It's very good.
It was a very good episode.
It's very good, very good episode.
In Soviet Russia.
Yeah. Episode and hi to you, Quinn, as well. I didn't say hi to you before.
Yeah, jerk.
It's, you know, it's in my nature. no, it's very good. It was very good. It's just another home run. I like the show.
I think this is going to be one of the episodes that stands out the most for me this season.
Yeah.
I think it was really, really tense.
I like the format of this episode. They're
yes,
kind of like
loved it.
Back and
loved
forth.
It.
You mentioned it a little bit, just to give you credit off the air, that it's like very cut back and forth between the storylines. Like I like that for this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this episode, there wasn't so much going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, last episode, it was like...
It's a nice break.
Two main things, and then like 50 little mini things going on, mm-hmm. and this was really nice
That's
to just
fair.
Have...
This show, if you blink yeah. for 2 seconds, yeah. it's like, wait, I missed an entire plot development, yeah. and now I don't know what's going on. But honestly, what I loved about this episode was the fact that you had some major developments, especially...
Oh, yeah.
Towards the climactic end.
And they were allowed to play out. Like, it felt like they were, like, these developments were breathing, and you can
finally.
Actually, like, invest, and you didn't have to hold your breath. Because
That's
you,
the word. I felt yeah. very invested.
Yeah.
yeah, and I feel like we've been putting a lot of money in the bank, and this time we kind of got to really reap the benefit mm-hmm. of that. You know what I mean? This entire season, it's like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, but this episode, we really got to just, like, let it all wash.
House of Cards does this. They'll have a few episodes where there's a lot of setup up in tension building.
Like last episode,
yeah. Exactly. Where you'll have not exposition per se, because that just sounds so like...
It doesn't give them enough credit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just sounds like, oh, and then they explained things. It's not that they explained things, but there's a lot of setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, there'll be a spike or there'll be a break in the levee. And mm-hmm. that's what happened at the end of this episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what really keeps you coming back. You know what I mean? Because you just know when it comes, it's going to be so
just
good.
Oh,
sounds super sexual. Sorry about that.
So Frank and Claire, they are flying.
I actually was not thinking that at all.
Sorry.
A rarity for me because I'm always thinking something.
I shouldn't have called myself out for it. That was the problem.
You were coasting. You were ahead and then... Oh.
I know. I was doing so well.
But I'm...
Sorry.
So Claire and Frank, they're flying to Kremlin. They are in Air Force One and Claire's looking at the beautiful northern lights.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank's in the other, would you call it a room on the airplane?
And a wing.
In his office.
Can I fly like that, please?
A wing on the plane.
Sorry, were they on the Starship Enterprise?
Yeah, I know. It was
my gosh.
So he's meeting with Tom Yates,
for president,
the
just
author.
For the benefits. Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Continue.
Just I said that last week, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's talking about how he used to work for his uncle back in the day, distributing cannabis.
He was doing...
He was packaging.
I think he was packaging. Yeah, packaging, okay, packaging distributing.
He trusted him with the scales.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm.
Oh, that was fantastic.
For distribution, a little bit.
Did you partake in any of this? And he said no, right? He said no.
Because it's grown in poop.
That's right.
And so Frank goes over to Claire, and she's like, come look at this. It's the most beautiful thing I've seen. And she goes, have you eaten anything, Frank? And he's like, no. Have you slept at all? No. And it's like, oh, there's that little tidbit of Claire being wifey, you know, making sure their husband's feeling okay. Mm-hmm. They get to Moscow. And they meet with Petrov.
A very different Petrov than we saw last time.
Well, he has to be very different.
Amicable. Ready to work. Ready to make things happen.
He's like cheery and like pleasant.
And
it's like, ugh, why?
And eager to solve this Petrov. It was weird. It was totally different.
I think it makes a little sense because I don't think he had much of a choice and he knew it.
He was strong-armed.
He was
for sure.
He was definitely strong-armed, and more to the point, they had a deal already. And we see this later where he knew that if he was released, that there would be a statement made that would make him look fantastic. The deal was made. It was pretty much just kind of securing things.
And as we talked about before, this has never been about Petrov trying to appease his traditional constituents. It's always been about just trying to make the deal happen.
We definitely need to talk about the respect, and we'll get to this later, obviously, because he does mention the fact that he needs to have the approval of the people, because it's different in democracy than it is with Russia, because he had that great line where, you know, if they don't like you, you get booted out of office, but if they don't like me, they tear down statues.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was awesome. So I think that's the most important thing, is that, like, actually his ideals have nothing to do with what was happening there. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're there, and they have two totally... I mean, it's kind of the same mission, but it's like, okay, I'm going to go talk to Corrigan, and you talk to Petrov. We'll meet in a few hours. And so they split apart, and they go. Claire goes to the prison to go meet Michael Corrigan. And it was just so... That's what you're talking about, how you were invested. That whole thing, I mean, she's there from beginning of probably the day to all, you know, you see the sun go down, and it's dark, they're eating a meal together. You really do become invested in that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. It's a testament to how important she feels this deal is, and the length that she's willing to go to make sure that she does her part to ensure... this deal goes through.
Yeah. Like that actor who played Michael Corrigan, too. Yeah. Remember him from Dexter. He did
really
a
good job.
Great job.
Yeah. Good catch. Yeah, good job. He did a really good job.
I also think that there's a level with Claire specifically, because she feels the need, she wants people to take her seriously. Mm. And she wants to prove that she is worthy of her job. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a number of things at play here for her. I think that, first of all, she is very invested in making sure that this deal closes and that everything plays out the way it's supposed to, because first of all, it reflects well on her and her husband. And second of all, I think that Claire, of her and Frank, is the softer of the two.
She's emotionally tied to it.
She's emotionally a lot more available than he is. And we see that throughout the series.
Yeah.
And definitely at the end of this episode. But she's a lot more empathetic, if you will. Mm-hmm. So you can just see it from the moment she enters the cell. It stops being about the political world for a second. It starts being about, okay, you and me, let's land.
She even said to him, you look thin.
Oh, yeah.
Just like at the beginning of the episode where she was asking Frank if he'd eaten.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm always thin.
Yeah. What did you guys think about how she wanted to take the bug out of the cell? She didn't want it to be bugged.
Well, she wanted to make sure that he felt comfortable enough to talk without anyone sort of listening in. I think that makes sense.
To me, it felt a little exposition-y, a tiny bit.
Exposition-y? What do you mean?
Well, because at the end of the episode, something happens that they couldn't, there couldn't be a camera in there for it to have happened.
Oh, you mean like it felt too much like a bump set spike? Like it was a little too like placed?
Maybe not so much, maybe not so much, but a tiny little bit.
Right. It like it had to happen for the rest of this to play out. Yeah. So I was like, shoot, how do we solve this? Let's get
rid of the bug.
Yeah, maybe. What it did do nicely was it gave Petrov a reason to be suspicious of her in the first place, which obviously leads to
the rest especially of it. Because Petrov and Frank's discussion was going so well, and it was really interesting to see them kind of just like really, really work together. And then obviously that was maybe a little too good to be true.
Yeah, it was as if that whole White House dinner never happened, and they were meeting again for the first time, and they were buddy buddy, and they were really getting along.
Yeah, I was wondering though, were they really working together really well, or does it just look like they were working together really well because Petrov was just giving Frank everything that he wanted? Like, there was no compromise on Frank's
part,
really.
I don't think that Petrov is the kind of person that does anything he doesn't want to do. I think
I guess I'm talking more from a writing standpoint than from a character standpoint.
I think from a writing standpoint, I think it's always important to remember that there is such a thing as dramatic irony, where almost always with a show like this, when the audience isn't aware that something is going to happen, it's very specific for you have like your two different kind of writing styles in the show, and that's the suspense of we know consciously that something is going to happen, but we don't know what it is.
A little bit of an unreliable narration.
And kind of like, oh, what's going to happen? But that has to be a conscious decision, and there have to be plans throughout to make that. To make the audience aware, or you are blindsided.
I guess I'm not talking so much about like the writing style and or like the information we were given. I'm just saying like, oh, it's nice to see like Frank and Petrov work together. And then I was like, wait, they're not really working together. He's just giving Frank everything that he wants. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah,
I get that. Claire goes to Corrigan and says, "Okay, listen, we want to get you out of here. We're so sorry about everything that's happened. Here's a statement that we want you to read." And he refused glasses. He couldn't read the print on the paper because it was so small, and he refused glasses because the other prisoners don't get glasses. So he didn't want this privileged treatment in prison. He wanted to be just like all the others that were captured as well. And so Claire reads it, and it's basically saying, so sorry to the Russian government that this... Was he apologizing for his... like activism?
Well, he was saying something about I apologize for exposing children to alternative romantic relationships.
Yeah,
and violating the laws of this country, pretty much. Yeah. Apologizing for everything that he had done.
And then thanking Petrov for the treatment.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was really what got him, I feel like. Well, that would get anybody. How are you going to thank someone that put you in prison? I understand.
For anybody who's perpetuating, you know,
A stance that goes against your humanity, what makes you you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your ability to love another human being.
Right, right.
So it runs which very
is a part
deep
of, which is a part of that, yeah.
I think it was the exposing the children thing that really, I think Claire thought that was what really got, well, she said, I think that was the part that really got to you.
I think, she said it was about the whole non-traditional values.
Sure.
I'm kind of paraphrasing on that.
Oh, you don't have it? Word perfect?
I don't have it.
Come on.
I know. How'd you get on this panel?
The whole script memorized by listening to it. But something about the fact that he was exposing, and it's even less exposure, but he's talking about non-traditional and unconventional values.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, it runs deeper than just, like, my feelings are hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was great about the construction of this episode is you saw both sides of the coin and somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see him, who obviously is incredibly passionate about this cause, because not only does it affect him, this isn't like my feelings are hurt, you called me, you know, you said you didn't like my outfit or whatever the hell. This is a fundamental, I am infringing upon your rights because of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that runs much deeper than my feelings are hurt. Where on the other side of it, Petrov even says, I don't care, so-and-so's nephew is gay, and, like, I think of him as a son. There are plenty of people here who are gay. It's more about appeasing the religious masses and the traditional masses. So you see those total opposite sides of the coin, and then Claire's somewhere in the middle.
Claire, no, he said it's about respect. I want Corrigan to respect me.
Right.
And that's what I thought was so interesting, that later when they're talking about their personal relationships that Claire was saying, it's about, it's about mutual respect. And it's like, obviously that's not the case. You know what I mean? It's not enough just to respect each other. And I think that goes to show with what happened here
because
at the end of the episode.
There's a double standard here when it comes to mutual respect. Petrov doesn't respect him in the same way that he feels like he respects or he should be respected. Mm-hmm. And so it's not really mutual.
Mm-mm.
It's
not at all.
Not, at least not according to him.
Mm-hmm.
Him, not Petrov. I can't remember his name.
Corrigan,
sorry. Thank you.
I just thought it was... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
Just that, like, I just thought it was really interesting about how, like, she's trying to, like, why? Where did this activist in you come from? And she kind of tries to dig into the surface and kind of, like, figure out exactly what is it that sparked him being so, passionate about this. Mm-hmm. And that question never really... I got answered a little bit, but not quite enough because... He's, fighting for this right, and on the other half of that, his relationship hasn't been a good one in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was really interesting. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I thought it was very interesting to see him kind of put this platform, this belief, and this thing that he's fighting for so hard, which you would think would better the lives, or it's supposed to better the lives of him and his partner, and he is kind of, like, dismissive of the fact that his partner's hurting so much over the... that he's in prison. It's weird. I don't understand that logic.
It's weird that the passion isn't coming from how happy he is in his own, like, yeah. And I want everyone to be as happy as I am. That's not what it is.
It's not because they were having problems, but he can't divorce him because he's speaking on marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And he can't just divorce
exactly
at
right.
this time.
It's a great conflict.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially because when you have that kind of duality, it showcases the fact that in his side, he's fighting for something that is, or he, at least he thinks he's fighting for something that is greater than him and mm-hmm. his individual relationship with his husband. He is kind of the symbol in this episode of what some could call the, extremist in the sense that he's an anarchist or he believes in revolution. I'm trying to recall that line where she goes, "That's not how politics work." And mm-hmm. he goes, "No, that's how revolution works."
Yeah. They're talking about all or nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's very much an all or nothing person. And in this way, and like I was saying earlier about the episode, you have all or nothing on one side and you have all or nothing on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly juxtaposed. And Claire and Traeger somewhere in the middle. And you see them all scrambling. And in a way, you... Even if you lean towards one side or another, like I'm personally on, I'm lean much more on Corrigan's side, you're able to find some sympathy or understanding that it's not as black and white as mm-hmm. people want to make it. And he's the big kind of black or white, whatever you want to say, stroke of all or nothing. There is no room for compromise. I might be willing to die for this. Where on the other side of the coin, obviously, you have Petrov, who said if there's no statement released, if he does not say the statement, everything is off. The deal is completely mm-hmm. gone.
And he brings up that story about how he tried to starve himself, and he only made it, I don't know, 5 days.
6 days.
6 days. But right. then
I didn't mean Sergei, that was a totally other.
Sergei, another Russian prisoner, did it for much longer, and he ended up dying. And that didn't make news headlines at all. Nobody even batted an eyelash. Why? Because he's Russian. And so he is like, I shouldn't be getting this differential treatment. I shouldn't be getting, favor just because I'm an American and mm-hmm. you guys are bending over backwards to get me out. Like, what about these other people?
His nobility is a little annoying. Like, it's a little, I don't want to say misplaced, but there's something about it that is just, it's...
Maybe I just never felt like we fully understood where it was coming from.
Yeah,
didn't feel fully fledged. It didn't feel totally believable.
Yeah, and also, like, this is... Sorry. I also think, like, this is what you're fighting for. You're fighting to grab the attention of the masses so that... And the people in power so that change can come. And when the doors open for that change to come, you backtrack? Or you're not okay with it? I don't
Claire
know. It's weird.
Claire talks about it. Obviously, everyone has different reasons for that kind of extreme activism. Mm-hmm. In this case, Claire talks about... This is about your ego. And yes. regardless of whether or not that's 100% true, because it can't be 100% true, I think she touches on something. Mm-hmm. His nobility is a little extreme, because obviously we've seen all of the sides of the coin, and we have the perspective to go, listen, if he were just to say the statement and not mean the words, then he can go and affect change. Like, the question becomes, how much change can he affect in the cell versus mm-hmm. how much change can he affect if he actually goes home and mm-hmm. tells these people's stories?
Yeah.
So from our perspective, it's easy to kind of say, well, yeah, absolutely do that. And the entire time, I'm like, please, please say the statement so you can go home and see your husband. But at the same time, I think we have to be a little more sympathetic to the idea of being so deeply, or if not sympathetic, at least understand that where he's coming from, I think, is a bit egotistical in his nobility. Where
that's what he, I want to touch on.
Yeah, he wants to be, so if he doesn't want to be a hero, he wants to be
a martyr.
A martyr.
That's what I'm wondering about this whole all or nothing thing. Like, how many parallels are we supposed to draw between Corrigan and Frank? Because, I mean, they're both pretty much fighting till the death for what their own beliefs are. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really interesting about Corrigan when he was talking about his relationship with John. And, you know, he's talking to Claire about her relationship with Frank, and she says, oh, I love him now more than ever. And he calls her out on that. He's like, no, you don't. He said, it takes one to know one. And I thought that was super, super interesting. Mm-hmm. Just about, this whole kind of theme of this season has been this kind of unwillingness to compromise.
Yeah. And another parallel, actually, when he's talking about, when they're talking about words, and Claire is basically saying, words don't mean anything. You just have to say them, and then what you do is what you actually mean. Mm-hmm. And then later, when they're talking to, when Frank and Petrov are in the office talking, he says the exact opposite, where Frank basically brings up the argument of, it's just words, why can't I say them? And he says, because it's about respect, and those words mean everything to mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
So you have the complete opposite sides of the coin here, once again.
Yeah.
He even goes as far as calling John weak. He's like, he's the weak one. I'm over here being a, revolutionary person.
And are we supposed to think of Claire as the weak one? I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to see these so,
is
like,
the parallel,
exactly, exact, but, like, a little bit.
Are the parallels you think being drawn between him and
Corrigan and John and Frank and Claire.
Okay.
Frank and Claire's marriage is what this entire season is pretty much revolving around. So I think it's kind of hard to divorce, no pun intended, one storyline from the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily an exact comparison.
No, of course not.
But what I think the most important, to me, the big takeaway was the fact that it's not in any way, kind of like I said earlier, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You have the revolutionary who, when you think about it, is fighting for what is right. But he's not going to be able to get anything done when he's being so stubborn about the way he wants to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the spectrum, you have Petrov. I won't dive too much into it. I've already said my piece on him. And then you have Frank and Claire, who are trying to be the middle ground, and yet they completely fail.
Mm.
So it kind of brings the question, and this is the question I wanted to propose, there's no right way to go about this, but what do we think about being a martyr, about being a revolutionary and anarchist versus discourse? And we've seen all of these ways fail. So what do you do when everything can fail?
Yeah, like you don't, Frank never wanted to be the sitting duck president, so he's going mm-hmm. in the exact opposite direction there.
Yeah.
And now we have Corrigan who went to the most extreme method, and that's not helping either, unless, I don't know, what if there's some crazy aftermath after his suicide? We'll have to see.
Oh, I'm sure there's got to be aftermath, if nothing else, between...
So maybe it was something that...
Maybe it's all for nothing.
Maybe it's all for nothing, or maybe
ultimately
maybe
we all die anyway.
Yeah.
At the end of
They're
the day.
They're all dead.
Everybody dies.
We need to talk. Wait, I wanted to talk about Gavin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That was like the other huge... Well, Doug and Gavin kind of were like, bits and pieces in this episode. But Gavin's whole thing with Lisa was just crazy.
Crazy, naughty, and...
Unacceptable.
Or should we
icky.
Say Psycho. Max, isn't
yeah,
that
Max.
His name?
Oh, right, yeah.
To Lisa, he's
yeah,
Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes off about...
So they're like friends now.
Yeah.
And they were, what were they doing in that gazebo?
Volunteering for something, it looked like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he brings up he had this kind of reckless history where he hooked up with a bunch of girls.
And he just, and he just keeps trying to, every single thing he relates with her is about his romantic past, because that's what he's trying to.
He knows that's her trigger.
Exactly. So it's like every single thing that he opens up about himself, like, obviously it's all fake, is all about like, oh, this girl or oh, blah, blah, blah. So he can be like, well, what about your relationship? Yeah.
Poking buttons, and he finally does it. He finally...
He breaks her.
He breaks her.
Yeah, and he pretends to be HIV positive.
Oh my God, that's so
messed
sick.
Up. Was it weird when he was like having to like whip up some tears and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. It was totally weird that they said you're negative on all accounts, and he goes, okay, thank you very much.
And she's like, yeah.
Sob.
She's like, I have brochures and all this. He's like, no, I'm good. Oh, wait, actually, give me those.
Yeah.
Throws away the file. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then when he finally does talk to Lisa, she's feeling really bad for him because he's just gotten, like, apparently the worst news.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, she opens up about Rachel, says something about New Mexico, and then you see him on his computer, like, looks like he kind of found her. But I'm like, that's kind of crazy. Like, the one person, the one place that Lisa would say is where she is.
Yeah.
Like whoa.
Yeah, she, like, I can't remember the specifics, but she was like, oh, yeah, we used to talk about the places that we would run away to if we had the chance.
Right.
This place, and then something specific about New Mexico. And maybe it was, once again, I blanked, but I think it was about, like, this is actually the place where she would probably end up going.
Yeah,
like
I guess. And she was saying, like, we were going to...
Help us out.
Gonna,
comment.
Yeah,
us.
We were going to have, like a cabin, and we were going to, like, live there and just, like, forget about all of our horrible things in our past. And then, like, you see him on his computer, like, looking at, looked like traffic cameras in Santa Fe or something like
that. Yeah, so traffic cameras. It's so funny how on shows, it's like they find people so easily.
I know. It felt like a little far-fetched, but whatever. I'm okay with it.
Either that or it is that easy.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable.
I feel like it's that easy.
Honestly, I feel like it's that easy.
Yeah.
Is it that easy? Well,
I think it's that easy.
I think depending on where you live. I think depending on where you live, it definitely can be that easy.
Yeah. Like,
listen, you can find out a lot of information from someone if the way there's a will, there's a way. That's all.
And think about all the cameras that you're on a daily basis. Not just these, but out and about when you're walking around. There's so much surveillance.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, let's go back
kinda
to...
Kind of creepy now.
We're totally living in an Orwellian world. Yeah. I mean, come on, you can't... Everything is on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know it or not, pretty much everything except the bathroom sometimes is on camera.
Do you guys have friends, or do you put a little post-it over your laptop camera?
My friends do that.
I have friends who put a post-it over their laptop camera.
Why?
They're afraid that somebody's
like the government's watching.
The government's watching.
If the government's watching, they're having me on my computer.
Government,
much...
comment, subscribe.
They must be very
Are
bored.
You watching?
I would hate to be that. Like, I would hate to have that job in the government
yeah,
to like
too.
Watch people's computers. Because I mean, I guess every once in a while you'll find something interesting or funny or whatever,
freaky,
or see something
you're
freaky.
You're
but
see some weird
for the most
thing.
Part, you're probably just seeing people just like Googling.
You're gonna. You're,
whatever.
I'm like, eating.
Yeah, eating. Yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, what you're gonna be seeing is me binge watching House of Cards.
Yeah, you're just like staring at the screen. So it must. I don't know if I'd want that job.
I feel that way about phones being tapped. For sure. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll be having a really awkward conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, CIA, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Like,
I've done
that. CIA, LOL, right?
Oh, my goodness.
We were just talking about... oh, man.
All right. So,
we're talking about some things offline, so...
So, Petrov and Frank.
He's on airplane mode real quick.
So, he says that he needs to show strength and that Michael needs to read the statement. Like, this needs to happen or else our deal is not happening. And then he throws in... wanting to take away the missiles from the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Everything is gone.
Everything.
If he doesn't say that. Damn it. It's such a house of cards, isn't
yeah.
it?
And we just
such
really,
a house of cards.
We really were, like, looking at... I mean, I don't know if I ever thought everything was going to go smoothly, but you really are looking at all this being like, yes, yes, things are falling into place. Everything is going to be just fine.
No, it's not. It's never just mm-hmm. fine. That's what's
silly
so,
me.
I know. I was hoping it too, but unfortunately... When you build a house of cards, if anything goes wrong, it falls over.
Use crazy glue.
No. That's cheating.
I know.
That is absolute cheating. But honestly, you would probably be better off, because here's a perfect example of the I mean, I hate using the term term extremist, but it is, because it's all or nothing on both fronts, and when you see that kind of pull, it creates such an awesome tension to watch, but terrible to live in.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, my mind is on
downloaded that.
Yeah, I did. But Petrov says that, okay, fine, Michael doesn't have to make the statement. You can make it for him, Frank.
Which was awesome. How lenient of him.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that he was going to waver on that? I mean, I never.
It took some convincing, though. It took
it
some.
It did.
It did. But I mean, after seeing the Petrov we saw in, like, what, episode 3 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
I mean, I was already.
It was unexpected for me. For sure.
It was totally unexpected. I was like, look at him working with Frank. Things are working.
What do you think the incentive was to be so lenient on that?
Because I think the missiles pulled back from Chek is more important to him. So it's like, fine, talk for him.
That's fair, which ended up being a disaster, but we'll get to that.
And then we have Claire. She goes and has, you know, dinner with Corrigan in the cell. And apparently it's like a better meal than he normally has because the first lady's in town. And they're still talking. And she's like, I'm not leaving here unless you're coming with me. Mm-hmm. So make up your mind, but I'm not going anywhere.
She's so well-intended.
Yeah.
She truly is. And the issue that we've seen here with Claire as a politician, and it's very upsetting, because when she takes control and is ruthless is when she does her best work in politics, obviously, like we saw in the bathroom last episode. But here we see her, or at least I think, as much as it's political, I think it's also heartfelt. I truly do. I think she has an emotional investment in this man and bringing him home. And it ultimately gets the better of her. It makes her weak. And I guess that's my question, is every time in the show someone shows an emotional vulnerability, they end up either dead or completely screwed.
Yeah.
Where did you see that emotional vulnerability on her part during her time in the cell? I'm curious.
It was less of an emotional vulnerability than just it taking control of her.
Or
when
at least
she
an
starts,
investment or something.
Oh, when she starts engaging kind of heatedly and starts yelling at him, which ultimately, because normally with Claire, when she's in control, it's very much, you're going to do this, and I know you're going to do this because I'm telling you you're going to do this. Where, when I say losing control, you know the whole, that statement, like, the minute you raise your voice in an argument, you've lost.
You've lost, yeah.
She starts getting heated at him and starts saying, like, you know, you are weak and you're doing, you want to talk about, no, the you want to talk about courage was earlier, but
everything you fought so hard for will be done.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not that cool, calm, and collected Claire that we normally see in control. It's desperation, I think.
Yeah.
There's a level of, like, you need to do this, and I'm getting on a plane, because if you don't do this, then...
And well-intended, because she really, truly thinks in her heart he can do better on American soil for his cause than
he
can
really
get done
think,
in
You really
Russia.
Think that she's gotten that worked up because she's emotionally tied to this cause?
I don't think it's 100% that.
I think it's mostly political. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've seen that side, or we've seen that side of Claire, that ruthless side of Claire. But I don't really think the reason why she got so emotional was because she's invested. She's invested for a different reason.
She needs to prove that she's a good U.S. ambassador.
I
think that's the main takeaway from this, is that the reason why she's getting so emotional is because there's a lot on the line here.
Just get one thing done.
You know what I mean?
By the way, when I talk about emotional vulnerability, I don't just mean that she's necessarily passionate about the specific cause. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about she's shown weakness in the sense that she is very invested and she is starting to lose control of herself, because I happen to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think she needs, and I said it earlier in this talk, she wants to prove herself.
Yeah.
Damn it. And she wants to prove that she is a damn good ambassador and she can get shit done.
Yeah.
Which she does.
Right. Yeah, she does. I think she definitely wants to make him think that she wants to make Corrigan think that she's invested for the reason that she said she's invested in, but really it's all political.
Yeah. Regardless of the reason, though, she does show.
Oh, absolutely.
She melts down.
Clearly, I mean, you don't get that emotional over something that you're not emotionally attached to.
So Corrigan says he needs time. He's like, just let me sleep on this. Why don't you rest too? You're really tired. She's like, okay, fine. Puts her head down, falls asleep, wakes up to him hung. With her
with
scarf.
Her scarf.
Yeah, with her scarf, yeah.
And it's just like, oh.
That's
like,
traumatizing.
Didn't you guys think it was interesting that Yates, at the beginning of the episode, had changed the story in his book because the person had died from a suicide.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about how, what a selfish way to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now we come to this martyr who is, like, you know, supposedly doing all of this for his cause, and he hangs himself.
Mm.
And he was talking about weakness earlier. He was talking about how, you know, his husband back home is weak because he's not the one in the cell, mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. I have to say, I did not see that coming. That completely blindsided me.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we see it as
was
weak.
Like, when he was saying, like, I need to go to bed. Like, I need some time to think. I thought something was up.
I didn't
see this coming.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, we see that as weak, but he looks at it as, I died for this cause. Mm-hmm. And Claire even looks at it like that, too.
Yeah.
Right? She was like, he felt so strongly about this that he took his own life.
Yeah, I'm not even saying that I necessarily think of it as weak. It's just interesting that that comparison was made. There's so many comparisons in this episode. Yeah. Everything is just parallel.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, why it was such a
great episode.
Such a success. Yeah.
It was all tied together.
Yeah.
So we go, Claire walks into Frank's office, and he's being really emotionally supportive. Like, listen, you need to rest. Like, something crazy just happened.
And he was trying to get her to change her clothes, and she was like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah. So, so traumatizing. And I'm sure, like, he just hung himself with her scarf.
Her scarf.
Like, if I were in that position, I'd want to get immediately out of whatever clothing I was in.
Yeah.
Anything that
connected you to the moment. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, as we see later, she doesn't necessarily want to be at that moment. Mm-hmm. She's gone through such... she is in shock.
But she doesn't change for the whole... She doesn't change
for the
whole
episode. She doesn't change. And so Frank and Petrov are going to go make their joint statement. And she's like, I want to be there with you. I feel like I need to speak about this. So Frank's like, okay. And they go.
And she blows it.
Yeah.
I mean, at first I was like, wow.
She derails the whole thing.
She's really speaking well of Corrigan. She's, you know, staying on the page, mm-hmm. so to speak. And then she has this moment of just, like, no. Like, I need mm-hmm. to make this known. And mm-hmm. bashes Petrov.
And I just think it just further presses how much we just want the Underwoods to win. That, like, actually what she's saying is probably... It was probably the right thing to say. And it probably was the morally sound move to make. But I'm sitting there like, you idiot!
Yeah.
You idiot! Why?
So close.
Is it
You're
worth it?
You're at the finish line.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And there's so much that we know, too. And being on the other side... of the wall, kind of being the fly on the wall with Petrov and Frank, talking about why he does what he does, and not saying that it's right, because it's not. But what we know is that by making that move, she has destroyed
everything.
Not just...
this deal.
Not just this deal, but their relationship...
Their entire relationship,
is
yeah.
so completely... So completely over, if you will. But the reason that's so devastating is the nuclear capability. I'm not saying that they're going to go to war over this statement, but you just made an enemy of someone who you were this close to making a friend of, and a very powerful friend,
mm-hmm.
over a very, very good cause. But once again, we talk about this extremism and how it's kind of, in this world, definitely tears people apart.
Mm-hmm.
And brings people down instead of elevating them.
Yeah. And I feel like she's been... I didn't understand that choice that she made. And granted, I know that it's a TV show and that would never happen in real life. But just within the context of Claire as the character,
yeah,
the
where
person...
where did it come from?
Where did that come from? Usually she has the wherewithal to say, okay, even if she feels all of what she was feeling, I don't really see why Claire in this moment decided to make that decision.
Why now?
It's very out of character for her.
I guess the trauma.
Yeah, she mm-hmm. could be completely traumatized. I mean,
I guess, yeah.
But even at the end, though, she says, like, I don't regret it. I think she said something like that at the end, too. So even after she had kind of regained herself mm-hmm. a little bit, she still stood by it.
I was still waiting for her to say, oh, maybe it wasn't I wasn't thinking, but she stuck to her guns, which it's strange to me. It's just out of character for her. It's very strange.
I touched on this earlier, though, and when I talked about the emotionality of Claire, we've seen it in other episodes. This mm-hmm. It's out of character in ways, but in ways it's not. Because we've seen her make rash decisions before. I mean, she ran off with another man. She does things we, you know, in her best moments, if you will, she's very put together and very calm, cool, and collected, like mm-hmm. I said earlier. But we cannot ignore the fact that there have been signs from the beginning that of the two of them, she has more of the hothead. And she has more of the sympathy.
Do you think yeah. she has more of a hothead?
Than her and Frank?
She never pushed anyone in front of a train.
Yeah, yeah, but that was premeditated. I'm not saying that she's a better person or that he's a better person. I'm just saying that of the two of them, everything that he did was entirely premeditated.
She's more rash, definitely. Mm-hmm.
She has more visceral reaction.
Yeah, that's true. She definitely has more visceral
response. I don't think
she's
as capable of hatred and, you know, I don't think she's as capable of murder.
Well, she says it later. She's like, we're murderers, Frank.
I know.
Yeah.
Frank, I literally wrote down the entire the conversation.
Did you? Do you want to act it out?
Yeah,
with me?
Actually, we could. We could definitely act it out.
And go. No.
If I had it.
So, yeah, she goes to... Frank's trying to do damage control. He's trying to get Petrov on the phone. They're now on Air Force One again, going mm-hmm. back home. And Petrov is not taking his calls, so he is pissed. I mean, everything
and
everything
that
he's like,
get me anybody on the phone yes, who will talk to me. It doesn't somebody. Have to be him. Just get me
get
anybody.
Get me an intern.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
And so she follows him back into his office and...
starts off like a... kind of a normal Claire Frank conversation.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I did that for nobody else but Corrigan. Like, I had to do that for him. And he's like, he was a coward. He, you know, she's like, his death. No, his suicide. And just really driving
yeah,
that.
I don't know. I just, like, I don't think Corrigan was worth it. I saw in that cell was not a person worth losing all of this over.
I yeah. agree 100%.
No, I definitely agree.
And I would think that Claire would know that and recognize that. I mean, it's just so out of character for her. I was disappointed in Claire for the, I know it's the right thing to do, but like, I was disappointed in her decision. I don't know. I just felt like she should have seen the big picture. She should have had that in mind.
And also maybe as a viewer, we've talked about Corrigan for almost every single episode, but we hadn't met him yet. And so we hadn't right. had time to develop any kind of emotional connection to him. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think if we had that time, maybe we would feel a lot different.
Well, that's a very good point.
Yeah, yeah, and I think a lot of what we saw was the stubbornness of him. And I think there are two ways you can take that as an audience member. Either you can be entirely, completely inspired mm-hmm. by his passion for this cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should turn to a member of the LGBT community. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know that he has the best method to invoke change.
Yeah, like you didn't feel emotionally.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like I didn't like his character. I didn't like him.
I'm in the same boat where I felt that he was more petulant than involved in his own cause, if
yeah.
that makes sense. It didn't feel I don't know. I guess it's not just me, but it didn't feel as moving.
Yeah, and it wasn't very like we talked about this at the very beginning. It's very ego driven. It was very much about him and his cause and his beliefs. And yeah, he has this facade that it's about something bigger than mm-hmm. him. But really, it's about what he wants, like his narrative and his
legacy he wants to leave.
Yeah, exactly. The legacy he wants to leave.
All right, then here's
the
question.
And also at the top of the episode, we had established that suicide was selfish. Like we right. had, like as an episode, we had decided that. And so to have it yeah. end like that, mm-hmm. not that we all think that, but that was kind of like what I guess we were supposed to go into that right. with that in the back of our minds.
And then Claire says he's braver than you could ever be.
Yeah.
Was that talking about Frank's sexuality?
I think so. I got that.
Must have been.
Oh, wow.
I got that. That's the connection
I
made.
That's the connection what I got. Yeah.
Yeah, that totally went over my head.
Me too.
Yeah, that's the connection I made. I mean, I just because I couldn't fill in the blanks with anything else.
I really want to know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
About Frank talking about, or Claire talking about that Frank is a coward.
Did you guys even think about what that could possibly be, or was that something that
No, I did. What I thought that comment was, I didn't really read into it nearly as much, and I probably should have. I just kind of assumed that it was a grand statement toward... I thought it was leading back to the, like, we're murderers mm-hmm. of it all. But that's actually a better parallel. But here's a question when it comes to Claire and Frank's marriage and kind of these relationships that we've seen. Do we think that at the end of the day... Or I guess this is the better way to frame it, because it's less about Frank and more about Claire. We were talking about earlier how he's ego-driven. Mm-hmm. that and that the reason he was so kind of gung-ho about his cause was more about his ego. Do we think that that's possibly why Claire kind of went on this tangent? Do you think that there's a... Because we were saying that we're not sure why she was so emotional, emotional, maybe it was just trauma. Do you think that it could have something to do with her own ego?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely with her own ego, because she needs to prove herself as a worthy U.S. ambassador. Also, let's look at Frank. Is his drive to push AmWorks through really because he cares about the American people, or is it because he wants to leave something?
Yeah,
the latter.
He wants to leave that a legacy.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. He's coming into a presidency that he wasn't elected into, and he doesn't want to have his legacy as just be a filler president. He wants to make sure that he invokes policies or puts policies in place that change the landscape of America, and that he leaves his own legacy. So I don't. Yeah.
And he wants a 2016 nomination.
Right,
well.
And obviously that sets the stage for his nomination and potential presidency. I don't think there's no nobility in any of the.
But
things
that's what
he's
I was
doing.
Thinking about. Maybe Claire was drawing parallels between what Corrigan.
Right.
How Corrigan's behavior to Frank's as well. So I just thought maybe that's why she was getting so upset.
I guess the question was, in the ratio of nobility to egocentricity, where
nobility,
does...
Nobility, like, we're other kings.
Yeah.
I love that.
This was originally from England, but I digress. in the nobility versus egocentricity, where does Claire stand in that statement? And ultimately, I guess it doesn't really matter, because the point is she does it, and...
she's been married to Frank for a long time.
20-some.
So
you think some of that rubs off?
I think... No, but I just think, you know, they're peas in a pod. They just are. They wouldn't have been together for this long if they weren't. I think she's definitely ego-driven.
Yeah, but that being said, I think that there had to be something a little bit... Something has stirred her emotionally, whether it is completely egocentric or not, remains
to be seen. The stakes, right? We were talking about the stakes and how, everything that they're doing now, every decision they make, they actually see. As opposed to, I think we were talking about this a little bit last week, as opposed to, when Frank was the whip, he would make decisions and you never really saw the effect. Where now it's like every single time Frank and Claire make a decision, they see a direct impact.
Right.
And they don't get to just, go home and sleep at night and pretend what they're doing isn't affecting millions. And that's what I think it is. I think just the high stakes are just starting to really...
Too much for her now.
Yeah, that it's really getting to her.
And that's why Frank says to her, I should never have made you ambassador.
Yeah.
And she says, I should never have made you president.
Boom.
And then he looks in the camera. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
Sorry.
I want to talk a little bit about relationships really quick. What do you guys think about Doug and his physical therapist?
Oh, right. Thank you. I'm so glad you touched on that.
Has that happened yet?
It hasn't happened, but
I mean, it's starting to.
Yeah.
And also, I thought maybe a little bit at the end with Yates telling Claire that she had done the right thing. And I was like, is he flirting with her? But I couldn't really tell.
He's such a good guy, though. I feel like he's such a good guy.
But with the Doug thing, he will flirt with anything that walks.
But it's making me nervous. I'm like, oh, no, Doug. Like, every single time you
will
like
Doug flirt with anything that walks?
Is that a thing that
Doug does?
I mean, the prostitutes and...
Well, I mean, you flirt with prostitutes.
It's what you pay for.
I don't know if you flirt with them.
You don't have to, but I mean, you're
sexual towards prostitutes, so I hear. But, I feel like Doug, if anything, is a little bit kind of removed from most people.
Yeah.
And I felt like she was flirting more with him.
Oh,
than
yeah,
vice versa.
Definitely. But I was just wondering, is this going to be something that we should be, excited for Doug about? Is this going to be a good thing for him? Because normally when he gets invested in something, he gets, super duper invested.
Like creepy invested.
Obsessed.
He's like Midas, but the black version, anything he touches turns to coal and black and just disintegrates. I don't think this is going very far.
No, but here's the thing that we have to think about also is the fact, like I said, she's more interested in him than vice versa.
That's true. His obsession.
What I'm saying is maybe this could be a good thing.
Now, if anything, she could be a distraction from Rachel.
All the crazy.
And it seems like she could be a distraction from his life in lots of ways.
Also, she takes control.
And she says, I'm gonna surgically remove that phone from your ear.
Yeah.
That's about work. So this is, getting him away from Rachel, getting him away from work. So that's why I'm looking at this, this could be I like, you know,
him. Okay, this could be good for him. She's the best way, like, to get over someone is to get under someone new.
Okay. What are you looking at?
Oh my god.
All right. I think that's our episode. Yeah. Guys, make sure to go onto iTunes and rate us and review us and check out all the other shows that we have on there. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Pegarad. Where can they find you, Autumn?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Autumn Chiklis.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else at Julian Dujaric.
And you can find me on Twitter at Quinskillian, at Instagram at Quinstagram, and Vine at the Quinby.
So cute. So cute.
So many puns. I love it.
A little bit superfluous, but it's good for now.
All right, guys, check us out next week again. Take care.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.